The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus was teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath, and a woman was there who for 18 years had been crippled by a spirit. She was bent over, completely incapable of standing erect. When Jesus saw her, he called to her and said, "Woman, you are set free of your infirmity." He laid his hands on her, and she at once stood up straight and glorified God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, said to the crowd in reply, "There are 6 days when work should be done. Come on those days to be cured, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord said to him in reply, "Hypocrites, does not each one of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it out for watering? This daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years now, ought she not to have been set free on the Sabbath day from this bondage?" When he said this, all his adversaries were humiliated, and the whole crowd rejoiced at all the splendid deeds done by him. The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, there's a lot of power at work in this scene. You can feel it, and perhaps if you are not able to feel it, then you can reread later. Do you know? Okay, so Luke 13:10-17. Luke 13:10. Okay, so there's a lot of power at work in this scene, and we see just what it means for Jesus to have all authority on heaven and on earth. How he uses his power, or what his power consists in, right? We often think that the power is, you know, the guy on the top of the totem pole, the guy who is, you know, commanding others to do things, and maybe also things that he prefer himself not to do, right? But this is not, of course, Jesus. Jesus takes on the whole burden of Israel's afflictions. He takes on the whole burden of the world's afflictions in order to liberate his people from their bondage. And this is, I mean, there are, of course, multiple layers to this gospel passage. It's so powerfully personal. Jesus and this woman, and also the synagogue official. Now, we have those three powerful, characters in this recounting of the event that Luke gives us in Jesus' ministry. But it's also, it goes beyond the personal. Because here, Jesus, we know from having read through Luke's gospel, is encountering Israel in a doubled over state. Israel has been bound by the Satan, and Jesus has come to liberate God's people. And so we see the powerful kind of, it's not ripple effect, but you can see the crowd, as the crowd rejoices in the goodness and power of Jesus, that yes, he has come to set them free. And what they see happen in that powerfully personal way in that woman, they can anticipate happening for them as well. And not just them individually, but also them as a nation, right? They so desperately want to be freed from oppression. And they think their oppression is Caesar, but their oppression also is the Satan. They want to be freed from oppression, and they want to be freed for God and for his glory, that they can live loving God with their whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as themselves. That's God's agenda. Now, let's take one little look at the synagogue official. I think we can have some sympathy with him, right? Because it's not that he's a little man, okay? But when Jesus comes into your synagogue, he's the big man, right? So it's very difficult for someone who's been perhaps at the center of things to yield center stage to someone else. And that someone else also seems to have a little bit different agenda than you. Maybe, but maybe he doesn't. But still, just the act of having to withdraw is a very challenging one. And here, actually, what's happening is Jesus is standing in the midst of the people as the fulfillment of the hope that they always had as a people. But can they yield to him or not? My friends, Jesus is everything you want and everything you need in life. But will you yield to him? Or will you keep on with your vain pursuits of other things? And this is the really tough thing, right? This is the really tough lesson for us as religious people. The synagogue official has a place in the, say, religious landscape. And he likes that place, right? He is exercising power and authority when he tells the people what to do and not to do. But can he yield to Jesus? Because, of course, Jesus' response makes all the sense in the world. You guys would untie your animals to feed them, right? You would feed them. So you do some kind of work on the Sabbath. It's not that it's so restrictive. And actually, if we think about what the Sabbath is, then we should rejoice in the healing of people on the Sabbath, on the liberating of God's people so that they can truly be God's people, so that they can know and love and serve their Lord, right? Then we should rejoice at this. And in fact, the crowd does, because there's that innate sense. Yeah, this is what we were made for. This is you know, God's promise coming true. We want to be part of this, right? And that's what's happening. But the synagogue official, can he then yield? Can he then yield to the purpose and promise of God, or will he stay in his own small world? That's the question that's before us today as well. Do we stay in our own small world? Do we have, you know, we put blinders on so that we all put blinders on, okay? We put blinders on to see just what, say, like, I have to do, or just like what I want to do. But can we open up those blinders to at least see what God wants to do? Like, there are things that we should have blinders on about, and St. Paul gives a good list in the first reading. Don't talk about these things. It's not good, right? So we can put blinders on to sin and wickedness and the rest, but let's make sure that we are open to the plan and purpose of God, especially as he calls us to love with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? We have to love God. And if we love God every moment of every day, our entire life will be happiness. And if we don't, then not. And it's challenging, but this is what Jesus is doing. It's what he's bringing to life for us. Jesus makes us able to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. When we come to receive this is it. When we come here to offer our lives to God through and with and in Jesus, and to receive his flesh, his body, we are made to become what he is and who he is, Jesus. Let's not frustrate the designs of God today by refusing to become Jesus, by refusing to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. That's the plan and purpose of God, and he is accomplishing it in us, my friends.